That what they're singing, that part of where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I mean, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about tonight in Ephesians 2. So, I mean, you know, if you have your Bible, we're continuing our Ephesians series where we are looking to make much of Jesus. We're looking to our life, we're looking to the world, we're looking to the Bible, and we're trying to say, hey, how can I make much of Jesus with my life, with my whole life? And that's exactly what Paul's going to highlight in these two, or in these five verses in chapter 2, is Jesus washes us white for those of us who are in him. I know some of you can probably relate to having a testimony. Do we know what a testimony means? If you do, shake your head. If you don't do anything. Yes, okay. Well, I know some of you probably have a testimony where you can speak of how the Lord has changed your life. Essentially, where you were one way before and where you were a different way, where Jesus has made you new. You know, for me, man, I grew up in the church, like a lot of you. And I know some of you haven't, but I grew up in the church. My parents and my family are awesome. It's a little bit of a different story than my wife. She is a really cool testimony of just God's sovereignty without being in church. But I have a really cool testimony of God's sovereignty being in church. I know a lot of you sometimes can look to your testimony and go, well, you know, I wasn't necessarily doing crack, or I wasn't in jail, or I wasn't doing these certain things, and God radically saved me out of it. But I want to challenge you with the fact that your testimony, whatever it is a very powerful thing. And for me, growing up in the church, you know, kind of coming to church on Sunday and Wednesday, because that's what we did, and coming to church on Sunday and Wednesday and kind of going through the motions. And that, you know, that continues throughout high school. What do I start doing in high school? I got involved with sports, started playing football, you know, the quarterback, you know, we're winning state championships. That's what I'm giving my life to. Like, that's what I'm following. I'm following the things of this world. And that's continuing to fast forward. I would have told you I'm a good person. I would have told you I was a Christian. You know, I would have told you everything you needed to hear. But there was still this, like, deceitful heart in me. Like, I wanted sin. I'd go off to college and get involved in some serious junk I shouldn't have gotten involved in. And that brings me to the pit of my life. The lowest point of my life. And it was in that point that Jesus met me, dead in my sin and trespasses, and pulled me out of it and set me on this new path. That's where I started to lean into a calling to ministry. That's where, you know, I began working at a church. That's where I ended up meeting my wife. That's where I ended up, like, that was all of God's plan was just continuing to unfold as I began running after him. And so my testimony carries this idea, and I know some of you can relate, that when you experience Jesus, like when you actually come face to face with the creator of the world, like, he changes you. You're not the same. You're not stuck in the same sin you were. You have a power now to overcome that. You know, he makes you different. He makes you new. He raises you up from the dead. And that's exactly what Paul is getting at in chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. So if you have your Bible, follow along. This is what Paul says. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you previously walked according to the ways of the world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and we were by nature children under wrath as the others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. My first point, you know, if you're taking notes tonight, is I, you, before Christ, so we were dead We were blind, we were deaf, we were disobedient, and we were children of wrath. I was dead, I was blind, I was deaf, I was disobedient. You could even write your own name. And I was a child of wrath. You just look at verse 1, right? And it just, it's right there, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. This literally carries the idea that you are non-existent. You are in the coffin. Like, they're lowering the casket. I know we all know what it looks like for somebody to be buried and lowered into the ground. And that's what we were. We were being lowered into the ground, dead. We could not resuscitate ourselves. For those of you who are in Christ, remember, this is for the Christ follower. Now, some of you are still dead right now. Like some of you, in a room this size, I do not believe and I'm not convinced that every single one of you is following Jesus. You may come to church Sunday, Wednesday. You may be good. You may have gone to a VBS when you were little. You may have even been baptized like I was as a kid. But some of you are presently dead in the coffin and you need to be made alive. And that's what Jesus does to us. This first verse where he says you're dead in your trespasses and sins, it's also carrying the idea that there's this enormous burden on top of you that you can do nothing to pay off. There's this large debt that's weighing you down and you don't have any amount of financial resources or wealth or anything to pay it off. You can literally do nothing. You are dead in your sins. You're dead in your trespasses. Once again, for the Christ follower, that's where you used to be before Jesus woke you up. For some of you in this room, that's where you are right now. And tonight, hear me from the jump. Tonight, hear me. Tonight, you have the opportunity to get that right. You have the opportunity to say, you know what? I'm really not following Christ. I'm dead in my sin. And you have the opportunity to get that right later. I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Throw it up on the screen for me. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is Paul. He's saying, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and what? Y'all know this. The new has come. We're going to focus on this verse a little bit later, but right there. Do you see where it says the old has passed away? Some of you, the old has not passed away. You're still in the old. For the Christ follower, man, there's two implications of this verse. You're new, there's two implications. You are new in Christ, some of you, and you are old in Christ. Some of you right now are old in Christ, some of you right now are new in Christ. For those of you that are new in Christ, for the Christ followers in the room, look, your slate has been wiped clean. God has forgiven you and he has forgotten. He no longer remembers your sin. I'm not making that up. I read that the other day and I was like, are you serious? Like, God doesn't, he doesn't even remember my sin? Like, that should revolutionize the way that you do a relationship with him. And then for some of you, the other implication is some of you, man, you're still in the old. The old has not passed away. You're walking in the old. Man, you see sin and you like it. You see the ways of this world and you like it. That's where some of you are. You know that you and Jesus don't really know each other. You may have done some cool things. You may be a decently morally good person. But you know that you and the creator of the world do not have a relationship. Like, y'all don't really get it. And this is exactly what Paul is saying in verse 1 in our text tonight. And you were dead in your trespasses. You were dead in your sins. And he's going to continue in verse 2. You're dead in your trespasses and sins in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world. Look, this is how Paul's going to highlight it. He's going to say, we walked in one thing, the ways of this world. And he's going to highlight what the ways of this world really is. And that's two things. Some of us were dead in our trespasses and sins in which we previously walked according to the ways of the world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, one, and then the spirit now working in the disobedient, two. Basically what Paul's saying right here is for you that are in the old, for you that have not been made new, for you that are still dead in your trespasses, you walk according to the ways of this world. And what he's saying the world is under right now, it's the control of the ruler of the power of the air and the spirit of the disobedient. Newsflash for you guys, that's not like a sweet little like, oh, I'm kind of with Jesus, I'm kind of not. No, that's like your dad is Satan. That's what that's saying. He's saying you're walking according to the ways of this world, which is currently right now ruled by the power of the air and the spirit of the disobedient. Not the spirit of the obedient, the spirit of the disobedient. Those are descriptors of Satan. Throw up on the screen John 12 for me. John 12, 30. I'm just gonna give you two, little scriptures that you can write down that kind of can prove this thought. Verse 31 is really where I want to hit. This is Jesus speaking. He says, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Is Jesus saying he's the ruler of the world right there? No. He's saying Satan's the ruler of the world, and Jesus has come to cast him out. Glory be to God that someday he's going to come back and finish him off completely, throw him into the lake of fire, throw this junk world into the lake of fire, and give us a new heavens and a new earth. And we're going to dwell forever with him. And that's a great thing. But right now, there is a ruler of this world, and his name is Satan. Another scripture is 1 John 5:19. We know this is the Apostle John. We went through the book of 1 John when I first got here. We know that we are of God and the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. It's not black and white. Like Paul right here, it's not, it is black and white. Paul right here is making it so clear. It's either God or it's either Satan. And he's going to really hit on this in Ephesians 6 when he talks about the battle that we're really going through. It's not flesh and blood. It's between good and bad, dark and light. And that's what Paul's saying is that's where some of you as a Christ follower, man, that's where you were. You used to be controlled by the evil one. And now because of Jesus, look at your life. But for some of you, and this is where I want to hit on, some of you, that's where you are. You're under the sway of the evil one. And once again, tonight, and if you feel like, hey, that's me, man, I don't know Jesus. Man, I know of him, and like I kind of half-heartedly sing to him, and I come because my parents make me come. If that's where you're at and you want to change that, all who call upon the name of the Lord can be saved. So you have that opportunity tonight. And that's what Paul's saying in these first couple verses. Continuing in verse 3, Paul's going to make it make even more sense. Verse 3, we too all previously lived among them. So in the first verse, he says, and you, right? So he's talking to specific people. And in the third verse, he says, and we all. Paul is covering everybody. He knew that the Ephesians weren't going to be the only ones reading the letter. He knew other people would too. So that's why he says, hey, and we all. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. This is where some of you are. You carry out the desires of your flesh, and you're a child of wrath. That is where some of you are. And that's not a lighthearted thing. What it means to carry out the desires of your flesh is this is what it means. When your flesh wants something, when you naturally want something, you give it. You allow it. You do it. It carries the idea that you're feeding this monster within you that's just wanting. Your flesh wants, so you give it. It's almost like Paul's saying, hey, there's no self-control in you. There's no obedience to the Holy Spirit. There's obedience to the spirit of disobedience. Practically in your life, this is what that looks like. Hey, guys, I want to go rob that bank. All right, sweet, go do it. Hey, that person made me mad, so I'm going to talk trash about them. So you do it. But if I fail this class or if I don't study enough and I make a bad grade, my parent might be mad at me. So I'll just cheat. So you do it. You want to cheat, so you do it. Hey, you want to lie because it benefits you and it makes you look cooler and better, so you do it. You want to tear other people down? So you do it. You want to gossip about somebody because you don't really like them? So you do it. Hey, you want to sleep with that person? So you do it. You want to watch that on your phone late at night? So you do it. You obey your flesh. That is what Paul is saying right here, is that that's where some of you currently are. You are currently obedient to your flesh, meaning you, your flesh inside of you that's really yucky, and the monster that you feed, you just keep giving it. You just keep supplying it with things. And then the other thing is he's saying, hey, you're a child of wrath. Once again, you're not a child of God. You're not one of God's sons. You're a child of wrath. You're a child of Satan. There is no in-between. If you think there's an in-between, Revelation 3, Jesus spits out the lukewarm person. There's no in-between. You're either fully on the boat, or you're following the ruler of this world that Jesus came to cast out. And what Paul's saying in verse 3 is by nature, we were all like this. Does that make sense? By nature, our very nature, we were all like this. Hear me out. This is my little rant. God made you in his image. Can we all agree? Genesis 1:26. God made you in his image. You know what his image is? It's perfect. It's beautiful. There's no sin. You're free from addiction. All the things. But guess what God gave you? He gave you what? A free will. He gave you a choice. God made you perfect. Nothing was wrong with you. But he said, hey, I'm going to give this person a choice because I don't want a bunch of robots. And what did mankind choose? We chose the tree. We chose sin. And that's the same choice that each of us have in this room every day. Choose sin, choose Jesus. We naturally went away, okay? We naturally ran from God. That was our nature, and that's what Paul's saying right there in verse 3. We chose our flesh, we chose wrath, we chose disobedience, and you still have that choice today. There is no, I can obey my sin, but also obey God. It's, I either obey my sin or I obey God. There is no in-between. That's where some of you are. You want to obey your sin. You want your flesh wants, so you give it. And if this is you, you do not have to stay like this. This is the perfect picture of the gospel. That if that is where you are at, you do not have to stay. If you feel like, man, that's where I am, and I need to change, all you have to do is call out to God, cry out to God. God, save me, redeem me, forgive me. I want to be different. I want to be changed by you. And when you do that in faith, God makes you a completely new person. That's my second point if you're taking notes. But God made me alive through Jesus. Verse 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ. Even though we were dead in trespasses, you were saved by grace. This is the whole point. But God. Just like my testimony, just like maybe some of your testimonies, you were one way before Jesus, you're one way after Jesus. God completely changes you. He raises you up from that coffin. He breathes life into your body, true and abundant life in him. And you can walk in that. Look again at 2 Corinthians 5:17. We already talked about it in the old, but now let's look at the new. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The old has passed away. The new has come. Man, for the Christ follower in the room, you are new. What are you doing with your newness of life? God did not just redeem you and save you and do a bunch of really cool stuff in you, completely wash you clean and forgive your sin and make you white as snow. He did not do that so you could sit idly on the sideline. There's no such thing as a sideline faith. In an instant, Jesus has changed you from a dead religion to a living relationship. You're a child of his, not a child of Satan's. You have his spirit, not the spirit of disobedience. You have a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. In Colossians 1:13 and 14, this is kind of one of the parallel passages in the other letter that Paul wrote. Paul says, he has rescued us. I love this. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. And he has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. When you come to Christ, he takes you from this dark kingdom and puts you in this light kingdom. I know all of you know what the transfer portal is for college football. Specifically, I know some of you know the whole Georgia-Miami thing going on right now. I'm joking. I wasn't a Carson Beck fan anyway. But Carson Beck is loving the transfer portal. Anyway, this is the idea of the transfer portal. You can just change your team, and you now wear the other team's colors. Like, you didn't like being on that team, you can go be with them. You wear their colors. You're on their team. That's your people. That's your identity. He's going to be walking around. Carson Beck's going to be walking around with Miami, not Georgia. Same concept. When Jesus transfers you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, you're a child of light. You know what that means? You radiate light. You know what that also means? You hate sin. He has completely changed you. But let me ask you, does that mean you're going to live a perfect life? No. Paul says, speaks of this in Romans 7, 14 and 15. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold as a slave under sin. For I do not understand what I'm doing, because I do not practice what I want to do, but I do what I hate. Paul's pretty much giving us this idea right here that as long as we're in the world, we're going to do what we hate. That doesn't give you an excuse to do what you hate. But he's pretty much guaranteeing us, hey, you're not perfect. In an instant, you've been changed. In an instant, you've been redeemed. But for the rest of your life, you get to chase after Jesus and throw aside your sin. That's what Paul says, I do what I hate. That's one of the defining marks of a Christ follower. Every one of you, look in your life and ask yourself this question. Do I hate sin? Do I hate sin? Through Jesus' amazing grace, love, and mercy, he has made us alive and he changes us. That's the power of his grace. When he says, you know, when he says in verse 5, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses, you were saved by grace. That's the power of his grace, is that it raises you from the dead. It makes you completely new. You were going this way, but now you're going that way. It's like the caterpillar into the butterfly. And so as we kind of close and as we kind of end, I don't want you to start packing up, so hold your stuff. I want you to ask yourself a question. Has Jesus made me different from who I was? I want you to write this down. I want you to think about it. Has Jesus made me different from who I was before I met him? Has he transformed me? You know what he did to Paul? He completely changed Paul. Paul was Saul, persecuting Christians. Now Paul is preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. His grace transforms you and changes you. If you have not been changed by Jesus, hear me in grace and love, every single one of you. If you can look to your life and say, man, I'm really not different, you have not encountered the God of the world. In this series in Ephesians, we're looking to make much of Jesus. That's what we're doing. We're trying to make much of Jesus. And tonight the theme is look at the power of Jesus. How he completely changes and turns your life around. If you were to look at your life and say, hey, I don't think I'm really different because of Jesus, you can do that. You simply have to call out to him in faith, trusting that he'll change you, asking him to forgive you, and this is the key part that we don't normally preach. You surrender your life to him. It's no longer your will, it's his. Hey, and if you say your answer is yes, hey, Jesus has changed me, praise God. That should completely, like I said, change the way we worship and talk to him and read his word. And here's another thing, here's a little side note. If he has changed you, you have a testimony that your school desperately needs to hear. Your school, your family, You have a testimony of God's grace that he's really, if, once again, if you can say, hey, man, he really has changed me, then there is a powerful testimony that needs to be shared, Christ follower. What are you doing with the new life you've been given, man? Are you seeing how, man, how can I make disciples in this? How can I be a fisher of man? Man, your identity is completely changed. What are you doing with the new identity? If there's anything in the way of us fully surrendering to him, we have to repent of it. If there's a relationship, if there's a friendship, if there's a sport, a grade, a career I'm chasing, if there's anything in the way, it has to be put away. We have to let go. Some of you need to make a decision. God is looking to use you for his glory and his kingdom. And he's looking for you to really get in the game and to stop standing on the sidelines. You know what it takes faith to do? It takes faith to get in the game and actually start doing some things. You know what it doesn't take faith to do? Stand on the sideline. So where are you at? So I'm going to pray for you guys, and I want you to be really evaluating where you stand with the Creator of the world. Are you sold out to him? Are you committed to serving him and loving him and worshiping him? Or do you just kind of stand on the sideline? So y'all pray with me. Lord, I love you, and you know how long I have been praying for this night. You know how long our small group leaders have been praying for this night. Lord, I'm just praying that your spirit would convict. That's the only thing that brings conviction. It's your Holy Spirit. Lord, I love you and I praise you. In your name I pray.